Today is Sunday, July 21st. And if you don't know, there are a number of running events that are taking place today in Ohio. I don't know about the weather now, but they were scheduled to take place in our fair state of Ohio. For instance, there's the Cleveland Triathlon today. There's Dirt Days Trail Run in Bethel, Ohio. There's the Jim Clett Memorial 10K Run in Monroe Falls. There is the Minster Mile Run, Minster Mile Run in Minster, Ohio. There's the Muttley Dog Run in Olmsted Falls. There's the Ohio University 5K in Dublin, Ohio. There is the TriFit Challenge in Columbus, Ohio. There is the Trillium Women's Only Triathlon and Duathlon in Sylvanus, Ohio. There's the Troy Kids Triathlon in Troy, Ohio. And there is the Angel Run 5K in North Star, Ohio. They're all scheduled to be run today. What a day, huh? To run. And, they have to schedule these things on the Lord's Day. So I can't run in them. And if you knew how much that broke my heart, how much I love to run, and that broke my heart, I hate running. I'm going to tell you, folks, I have always hated running. I just don't like running. But we do have some runners in our church, don't we? If you're a runner, would you raise your hand? Okay, look around, people. Would you pray for these people today? Because there's something wrong with anybody that likes to run. But having said that, we're all called. If you're a Christian, you're called to run in a race every day. Every day. You know, the Bible gives us a lot of different pictures of the Christian life. For instance, it pictures the Christian life as a soldier fighting a battle. Ephesians 6, we're soldiers fighting a battle. We got to get the armor on. It pictures the Christian life as a boxer in a match in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Other places, a wrestler. A lot of pictures of the Christian life, but one of the most prevalent pictures of the Christian life in the New Testament is that of a runner running a race. And I want you to take your Bibles, open them up, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In those first four verses of Hebrews chapter 12, we have this picture, again, of a runner running a race. I'd like to read the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of the shedding of blood in your striving against sin. Here again, we have the Christian life pictured as a runner running a race. And this morning, I'd like to think about these verses and share with you five insights on running the Christian race. Five insights, I believe, you know, there's nothing wrong with winning. fact, God wants us to win in this race. And if we take these five insights to heart, I believe we can run a winning race for the Lord, okay? So number one, the entrance into the race, the entrance into the race. By the way, folks, this race is not an easy race. It's not an easy race. The word in verse 1, where it says at the end of verse 1, let us run with endurance the race. You know what that word is in the Greek, race? It's the word agony. Agony. You can always tell a Greek scholar because they will say something like this. In the Greek, the word agony is pronounced agony, and it means agony. And it does. This race that we're called to win, or we're called to run and win, is not for wimps. It's not easy. It's not an easy race. You know, they used to go down to the Labor of Love run, and they had what they called the 1 mile fun run. The fun run. That's an oxymoron. That's like saying the deafening silence. What's a fun run? Well, this run that you're called, if you're a Christian, you're called to run, it's not actually a fun run. It's tough. It can get real tough. And many times, listen, it's agonizing. And each runner, listen to this, each runner's course is different. It's unique. You know, I a couple years ago, I used to go down to the Natatorium. Haven't been able to do that. I want to get back to it. I haven't been able to do it because of health issues. But I used to go down to the Natatorium, and you get on these treadmills. You don't go very far, but you start running, you know, on the treadmill. Or you get on the stair stepper. Did you ever do the stair stepper down at the Natatorium? You know what you can do on those machines? You can program them. You can program the course. I could run through Central Park. I could run through the Rocky Mountain course. Or the California Seacoast course. I could program in the course that I wanted to run. And I could program in the difficulty level. I could program in light workout, medium workout, or heavy duty workout. You can program that in. And then you know what else you can program in? What? The duration. And man, I put in there, man, I want the Rocky Mountain course. I want a heavy duty workout for 1 minute. See, I could program in anything I wanted to. But you know what? In the race that we're called to run, we don't get to program it. We don't. Well, now listen, there are choices. There are choices in the race. But we don't get to choose the course. And we don't get to choose even the level of difficulty. Or the duration. God is sovereign in the race. You know what? Your course isn't my course. Your course is different. The level of difficulty. You can look around you. You know what? There are people that have gone through things you've never had to go through. They're right sitting right beside you. We don't get to program the course or the difficulty or the duration. God is sovereign in the race. But the question is, how do we even get in the race? You know, when I went on the computer to find out all the races that were going to happen today, they had a little box there. All you had to do is check it. I want to enter the race. So you check that so that you could get in, and you had to give them your information and send your money, and you could get in the race. How do you get in the Christian race? Well, we just studied chapter 11, right? How do you get in the Christian race?
Faith.
By faith. By faith. This isn't just the race of life. You don't get in by being born physically into this race. You get into this race by being born again. Listen to me. You have to come to a place in your life where you recognize by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's the only one that can tell you this, that you're sinful.
Amen.
That you fall short of the glory of God and you're lost.
Yes.
Without Christ. And then through God and through His Spirit, you turn to Him and you put faith in Christ.
Yes.
You put your faith, your trust in Jesus. That He died for your sins. He died on the cross, not for anything He did. He died for what we did.
Amen.
For our sins, in our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace fell on Him.
Praise the Lord.
And by His stripes we are healed.
Amen.
See, you've got to believe that. And believe that 3 days later He rose from the dead. Then you trust in Him and He comes into your life and He puts you in the race. That's how you get in the race.
Yes.
By the way, are you in the race?
Yes.
Listen. Have you come to Christ? Two people in this church last week accepted Christ.
Amen.
They got in the race. One who had been in church for a long, long time, but finally got in the race. And I'll tell you, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, get in the race today.
Amen.
That's all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you get in the race. The entrance to the race. Secondly, the encouragement for the race. The encouragement for the race. You know, to run well, we all need encouragement. See what it says there? Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, who are they? Well, I think the key there is the word therefore, or if you have the King James, wherefore. Because that points us back what? Back to chapter 11. I think it points us back to chapter 11, and these witnesses are those who are listed in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11. All the faithful that have gone on before are witnesses. Now there's another question. Are they looking at us, or are we looking at them? Hold on. Some say they're looking at us. The context of running a race seems to suggest that these are faithful saints are looking down from heaven and cheering us on. Barclay, in his commentary, says that. He says, the faithful in heaven cheer for us every time we make a right choice, resist some temptation of faith, and witness the gospel in Jesus' name. Satan may have home field advantage, but we have the stands packed with the greatest fans ever.
Amen.
And the greatest fans ever are not the Cleveland Brown fans. They're not barking up in heaven. And they're not the Steeler fans. Sorry, Arnie. They're not the Steeler fans. The greatest fans ever are the faithful of heaven. So Barclay says they're looking down at us. Others say, no, we're looking at them. John MacArthur says, I do not believe that the cloud of witnesses surrounding us is standing in the galleries of heaven watching as we perform. The idea here is not that we should be faithful lest they be disappointed, or that we should try to impress them like a sports team trying to impress the fans in the bleachers. These are witnesses to God, not to us. They are examples, not onlookers. We are not called to please them. They are not looking at us. We are looking at them. Nothing is more encouraging than the successful example of someone who's done it before. Amen. Did you get that? MacArthur says, no, they're not looking down. Come on. No, we're looking up and we're looking back and saying, man, they did it. Look at what they did. And isn't it true? I'll tell you why I think one of the greatest encouragements in our life is when we see somebody that is faithful to Christ. And we look back, or we know of someone, and they've been faithful and they've done it. And that can be a great encouragement. By the way, you know what a great encouragement can be in your life? Read the biographies of the saints. Oh, read the biography of Hudson Taylor or William Carey or Adoniram Judson. Read the biography of John Newton and see what God did in their lives. Or if you want to get more current, Jim Elliot. Or Catherine Marshall. Or Billy Graham. Read some of the biographies. Yes. I'll tell you, what an encouragement. Yes. To see somebody that's done it well and finished the race. Yes. What an encouragement. So again, who's right? Are they looking down at us? Or are we looking up at them? As Swindoll says, both, he believes. Thanks. You read that book, didn't you? Who's that? I know. He says he thinks it's both. We need encouragement. I kind of think we're looking at the examples of the saints, and that's a great encouragement to us. The entrance is by faith. The encouragement by those that have gone on before. Thirdly, the encumbrances. The encumbrances in the race. We must shed all excess baggage if we want to win. When runners run a race, they carry no excess weight or baggage. When my son Tim was in high school, he ran on the track team. I know one thing he ran. He ran the 4x4. I think he ran another event too. I don't know if he's here. But he ran on the track team. And I remember going to the track meets. And I went to one track meet. It was early in the spring. It was up at Bullock Middle School. And I'm going to tell you, it was cold. I mean, it was cold. It was down in the 30s. I wore two pairs of pants, two jerseys, a winter coat with a hood, with gloves. I was still cold. My nose froze. But when they got ready to run, do you know what they did? They had coats on and they had their sweats on. You know what they did? These nuts, these runners. They took off their coats. They took off their sweats. They got right down to just their shorts and their tee, their shirt, their jersey, and they ran. No excess. Got to get rid of the excess baggage, right? Now, just think if we had a race today. And I was going to race Elder Ernie. Stand up, Ernie. Come on, stand up, Ernie. I was going to race Elder Ernie from the back of the church out to the end of the parking lot and back. How many of you think I would win? Raise your hand. Okay. But if I wore any weights, I had 250-pound weights that I was carrying, a weight vest, a weighted vest, and now we're going to race. How many think that I would win? Sorry, Ernie. You know what the Bible says? Put them all aside. Two things. Put them aside. What are they? It says, let every encumbrance or weight. The Greek word here, encumbrance, is only found here in the New Testament. Only used one time. And it simply means bulk or mass of something. It's not necessarily bad in itself. Often it's something perfectly innocent and harmless. But it weighs us down. It diverts our attention. It zaps our energy. Dampens our enthusiasm for the things of God. Encumbrances, weights, can be good things that crowd out the best. Ooh. Let me ask you. I'm just going to ask you. What are some things that in themselves might be good or innocuous and yet may weigh us down?
What?
A relationship can. That's right. Well, who's that?
Sports.
Who said that? Sports. Either participating or watching. We're getting convicting. What else could weigh us down? Or fantasy football? What else?
Sometimes too much activity. You think you're doing it for God, and if it weighs you down, you better decide what God wants you to do.
Okay, too much, getting involved in too many things, being scattered, that can weigh you down, can it? Saw one in the back, yes. TV,
social media,
these aren't bad, not bad things. Is it a sin to watch TV? Not necessarily. I don't think it is. Or social media, get on social, a little bit of social, not bad, but it can be. Back here.
Materialism.
What is it?
Materialism.
Going out just to get more stuff. I got to get more. Everybody knows he who dies with the most toys wins, right? But I got to get more. It can distract us. But is work bad? No, work. We should work. 6 days shall you work. It's not bad to work, but if we just go out and that's our drive, it can be a bad thing. What else? Anything else? Yes, over here. Video games. Thank you, teenager. Video games. Or just getting up, playing with your phone. Ooh. See, again, folks, they're not bad in themselves. Computers aren't bad. Cell phones aren't bad. TVs aren't evil. But I tell you what, they can weigh us down. They can weigh us down, man. They can hinder us in running the race. I wonder if anybody, there's something in your life hindering you right now. That God is saying to you right now, you know what? You need to do away with that. And if you can't control it, maybe you just need to do away with it. Encumbrances, weights. But there's another thing we're to set aside. Do you see it there? We're to set aside the sin that so easily entangles us. Sin, again, is anything that God says is wrong. Anything that breaks his law, contradicts his word, prejudice, pride, bitterness, gossip, lust, sexual sin, covetousness, unforgiving spirit, hatred, worry. The list goes on and on and on and on. Things we don't do that we should do, things that we're doing we shouldn't be doing, attitudes in our heart. They weigh us down. They hinder us from running for Jesus. That's what sin does. It's like a weight in our lives. Maybe you heard the tragic, terrible story about a man who went golfing early one Saturday morning. His wife became concerned when he had not returned home by dinner time. It wasn't until about midnight when he came through the door exhausted. She said, "Where have you been?" "I've been playing golf," he replied. "But you left 18 hours ago. What happened?" "I was having the best golf game of my life. I was 2 under par when on the 7th hole, Harry, my playing partner, had a heart attack and died." His wife said, "I still don't understand." He said, "After that, it was hit the ball and drag Harry. Hit the ball and drag Harry." What are you dragging? What weight are you dragging? What good thing is stealing the best in your life? Or what sin? Let's be honest. We all struggle with sin. What sin is God saying, "You know what? We need to be done with this. Get rid of that weight. Get rid of the sin which so doth easily entangle us." If you want to win, get rid of them. Number 4, then there's the endurance for the race. Endurance for the race. See, the most needed quality for running this race, the Christian race, is endurance. It says, "Let us run with endurance." King James says, "Patience." Word is hupomone, which means patient endurance. If you look back in Hebrews 10:36, it says, "For you have need of endurance." You have need of this patient endurance. We're to run with endurance. See, this Christian race is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It is more like a marathon. More like a marathon. And the key is endurance. It's patient endurance. It's the critical factor. Now, we do have some marathon runners in our church. We do. And they will tell you, I've read this. I don't know this by experience, but I've read this. And they would tell you, there are 2 key times in a marathon race. 2 big key times. You know what they are? The beginning. The beginning is very, very important in a marathon. Why is that? Because when you're in a marathon and you start the race, you feel really good. You feel good. And what's the danger? You run too fast, too quickly. That's a key time in the race. Too fast, too quickly. And then you burn out. And the other time, the other critical time in a marathon, I read, is like the 13th mile. Because you have run 13 miles and you realize what? I got 13 more miles and I am tired. I am whipped. I got 13 miles more to go. And it's kind of hard now even to what? Put one foot in front of the other. I'm tired. And a lot of times the runners do what? They hit the wall. And then, oh, is it hard? Now, I'm just telling you by what I read, not by experience. But that's hard. And you know what? It's like that in our Christian race. Sometimes people, like we have already had, they run, and they're going there, oh, they're doing all this stuff. And all of a sudden, they get tired. They start maybe even too fast. And then they peter out. Or they've been running for a long time, and you know what? They hit the wall. Do you know, again, there was a gentleman here in our church who gave me an article about pastors. And how many pastors leave the ministry every year? Thousands. Because they hit the wall. And it just doesn't have to be pastors. Sometimes, again, this race is not for wimps. This race is a tough race. We're in a marathon. And I'll tell you what, some of you are at a place you've hit the wall. And what do we need? We need endurance. We need to push through. That's what's, it's key. We need that endurance. How do you get that? Well, put this verse down. You know it. You all know it. Isaiah 40, verse 31. You know the verse. Even though young men grow weary and faint. Did you know that? Even your young pastor sometimes grows weary and feels like fainting. Young men do. Yet they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So how do we get endurance? You wait on the Lord. Amen. What's that mean? Not just sitting there kind of in an easy chair just saying, well, I'm waiting, Lord. That means actively seeking God. Yes. Actively seeking God in the Word. That's why it's important you get in the Word. That's one of the reasons. That's where we get our strength. We pray. We seek God in prayer. We get to know Him better. You know, those who know their God wax strong. We've got to know Him. We've got to seek Him. And I think another key to endurance is the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, folks, we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Every day we need to get up in the morning and just say, Lord, I can't do this. The race is too tough. I can't accomplish this. I try to run on my own. I'm going to hit the wall and I'm going to give up. But Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit and with your power so that I can run this race today. Endurance. Endurance. Let us run with endurance, with patient endurance, the race set before us. And then number five, the example for the race. The example for the race. We must fix our eyes on Jesus. Do you see it there? Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter, finisher of our faith. We've got to get our eyes on Jesus. He's the example. You know, one thing I do like to watch on television, every August I watch this, is the Little League World Series. I love watching the kids play baseball. But what they do with these kids is they will introduce the team and they have them introduce themselves. And they'll say something like, my name is Billy. And my favorite player is Francisco Lindor. Hi, my name is Sam, and my favorite player is Carlos Santana. You know, these kids, if you watch them, when they go to bat, they go up and they do just what their favorite player does. They hit the supposed dirt off their cleats. They swing like they warm up like their favorite player. They swing like their favorite player. They spit like their favorite player. They do. You watch them. They have seen these guys and watched these guys, and now they imitate them. Well, I want to say this morning, my name is Les Sutherland, and my favorite runner is Jesus. My favorite runner is Jesus. He's the greatest runner ever in this race. He's the greatest runner ever in the race. What made him a good runner? Three things. He envisioned the prize. Do you see it there? Who for the joy set before him. For the joy set before him. See, he looked beyond. And he saw what he was going to accomplish. He saw millions of souls that were going to be saved and go to heaven for all eternity.
Amen.
He saw the two people in this church last week that accepted Christ. He envisioned the prize. He said, man, people are going to get saved and God is going to be glorified and magnified in heaven throughout all eternity. He envisioned the prize. Secondly, what made him a great runner? He endured the suffering. He endured the cross. He endured, it says here, the hostility of sinners. And he didn't quit. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't give up. The path was hard. And you know what? Even when Jesus hit the wall. You know when that was? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
Even when he hit the wall, he didn't give up.
That's right.
Yes.
He didn't quit. He kept going.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. He envisioned the prize. He endured the suffering and he entered glory. It says he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When he had finished, he sat down. He said, it is finished. Not I am finished. It is finished. He accomplished all the work that God sent him to accomplish for our salvation. Everything that he had to do so that we could be saved and go to heaven, he did it.
Amen.
And he entered glory and he sat down. There's no work to be done.
That's right.
I'll tell you, you try to work your way to heaven, you're saying the cross is not sufficient.
Right.
It is sufficient.
Right.
He said, paid in full. It's all paid for. And he sat down. He finished the race.
Yes, he did.
And he sat down. We must fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, the finisher of faith. You know what the tendency is to do? Look around at the circumstances. You know what the tendency is to do? Look at other runners. Look at other. Oh, how come they don't have a hard course like I do? How come their course is not like mine? My difficulty level's up here. And we tend to look at other runners. You remember Peter? As long as he was watching the Lord and kept his eyes on the Lord, he did fine. But when he got his eyes on the circumstances, what? He sank. And when he got his eyes on other people, he said, well, what about this one over here? What about this disciple? What did Jesus say to him? Don't worry about somebody else. You follow me. You keep running. We fix our eyes on people and circumstances, and God says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Whew. Listen how Eugene Peterson puts this. I love this. This is in the Message version. He says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Wow. Eyes on Jesus. How many of you recognize the name Micah Herndon? One. Only one? Michael Herndon. He is a 31-year-old. He's a resident. You know where he lives? Talmadge, Ohio. In fact, back in April, he appeared on Good Morning America. He was kind of touted as kind of a hero figure. And this was a national thing. Micah Herndon is a former Marine. He spent several tours over in Iraq and Afghanistan. On one of those tours, it was in 2010, over in Afghanistan, three of his friends, Mark Juarez, Matthew Ballard, and Rupert Maynard, were killed by an IED. Mark Juarez and Matthew Ballard were fellow Marines, and Rupert Hamer was a British correspondent. Well, Micah, this last April, on April 15th, ran in the Boston Marathon. Maybe now you recognize who he was. He ran in the Boston Marathon, and he said he ran to honor these three people that died and their families. He told the Good Morning America host that he wanted to run that Boston Marathon to honor them and their families. But the race didn't quite go as he expected. In fact, it turned out to be sheer agony. He told ABC News, the pain began as the humidity from the rainy day affected him, and his legs started to break down at mile 22 of the 26.2-mile race. I said, I just gotta push through it. Once I realized I couldn't achieve and maintain my goal pace, I had one goal in mind. Finish the race on my own power. He said, when I was hurting, my legs cramped, giving out, When I felt I couldn't go on, I just kept on saying the names. Mark Juarez, Matthew Ballard, Rupert Hamer. He had them on his running shoes, the names. And he said, I'm running. They died. They gave their lives. And I'm running this race to honor them. I've got to finish. If you've never seen it, it's been all over the news. You can go to online. He did finish the race. 3 hours and 38 minutes. But his legs gave out. And he had to crawl and drag himself along the ground. And finally, he dragged himself over the finish line. He did it all. He didn't give up. He kept thinking about those who had died. He did it all to honor them. The Bible says, "Wherefore, since we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us run, let us lay aside the encumbrances, the weights, and the sin which doth so easily entangle us. And let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." Get your eyes on Jesus. He's the one who died.
Amen.
For us.
Yeah.
He didn't give up. Get your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he went and sat down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Folks, this is a tough race. Amen? Not for wimps. But we're running this race for the glory of him who died for us. Oh, Lord, sometimes we get really weary, God. Sometimes even we feel like we've hit the wall. But, Lord, we're running this race for the glory of you who died for us, Jesus. Would you give us the grace and the steadfast endurance that we need to run well. And Lord, even to finish well. Sometimes, Lord, we have to admit we feel like giving up. Feel like throwing in the towel and quitting. At those times, Lord, we help us to get our eyes on you who didn't give up. And give us the grace and strength to go on. Lord, there's some people here today that need to enter the race. Would you give them faith? Would you help them, Lord, give them grace to say, "Jesus, come into my heart. If you would die for me, I want to run for you." Thank you for the two last week that came to Christ. Thank you for that, Lord. But there's others, God, that need to enter the race. Would you speak to them now and help them to be saved? And help us, Lord, to run this race for you. In Jesus' name, amen.